The following KOPN podcast is made possible by the generous donations of listeners like you. Please consider a donation to listener-supported community radio, KOPN. You can donate securely on our website at kopn.org.
To Thought Crime Radio. It's just me in the studio, me and Kurt, but I don't know if he's going to say anything. But anyway, on the line I have Patricia. Are you there?
Yes.
All right.
Hi.
She's back. And Bob Bowman, the illustrious Bob Bowman, former head of the space, defense research program in the Carter and Ford White House. Is that correct, Bob?
Right.
Yeah. And you have a PhD in nuclear physics and aeronautics, correct?
Right, from Caltech. Yeah.
Okay. So,
welcome.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. You've been an upstanding figure in the movement towards, you know, real transparency and democracy in this country for a while now, especially since 9/11, I guess. And so you speak with an air of some authority in your knowledge of the innards of the defense, the technical aspects of the defense apparatus that's supposed to protect our country from things like hijacked airplanes. I do have, basically we're going to be talking mostly, I guess, about 9/11 and that false flag operation. I would like to play something, a interview with Wayne Madsen that was on the Alex Jones show last Tuesday, where they just do an excellent job of covering the history of recent false flag attacks in this country. And to the uninitiated, it's going to sound like it's completely off the wall, but I assure you that there is a body of knowledge out there which is simply not being covered by the media relating to this issue.
Rich, could you, before you play it, define for people what is a false flag operation, because some people might not know that.
It's just a... often it's some kind of attack or some kind of operation that results in bad PR for the group for which it is blamed, and so the basic idea is that you set up an attack of say old women and children, for instance. That would be a good target for this kind of propaganda operation. Where the victim is completely innocent and the public would conclude that whoever did this attack is just the scraping the bottom of the barrel as far as their humanity. And so you do this attack, and then you arrange to have someone else framed for it. Was that coherent?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds good to me.
So, let me cue this up. Bob, could you talk about while I find this, if you could, what first raised your suspicions about 9/11?
Well, it was on the morning of September 11th when I was watching what was happening on television, and my wife says that, you know, all I kept saying was, "Where are the interceptors?" And that was the very first thing. And then, of course, when the buildings fell, I immediately said, that can't happen. And so it was sort of all downhill from there. But I knew on day one that this whole thing was a fraud.
So there's multiple avenues of evidence all leading to this conclusion. One is the technical aspects of the collapse of the buildings. Another is the suppression of evidence, the planting of false stories, the evidence of foreknowledge, the evidence of facilitating.
That's easy for you to say.
Sorry. Felicitations, please. Anyway, so you know. All of these things, and also the behavior of the media. The media is, you can oftentimes, once you understand that the media really is a huge domestic propaganda operation, it becomes easier to see what's really going on by observing the behavior of the media. Especially, for instance, a good illustration of this is this recent shooting in Arizona, where this congresswoman and a federal judge, I believe, were shot and killed by this guy. Can't remember his name. Anyway, immediately the media pounced on this as an illustration of the toxicity of hate radio, or what they call hate radio, which they mm-hmm. call right-wing, you know, lunatics like Alex Jones, I guess, is who they have in
mind. Alex Jones, that's different. He sometimes goes over the top, but I wouldn't classify him in that. But there is an element of right-wing hate radio that keeps talking about Second Amendment remedies and this and that that I think certainly did poison the waters. And so, you know, I'm not sure that that's indication of anything.
Right. It's just that these people are being targeted, seemingly. I mean, for instance, I call myself a progressive, I guess. I don't even know what to call myself anymore. But all I know is that the media outlets that I used to use for what I thought was a complete picture of what was going on in the world have completely fallen down on the job when it came to 9/11. And so I've had to look elsewhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's complete censorship, and it's because the so-called mainstream media are owned by the same giant multinational corporations that profit from the wars and profit from corporate control of government.
Yeah. It's harder to explain, though, when it comes to operations like Democracy Now, which are at least on the surface, not commercial enterprises, although they are funded.
Yep.
Democracy Now! Is funded at least in part by the Ford Foundation, and I'm not sure.
It's hard to understand when people like Amy Goodman won't give a fair shake to the 9/11 truth movement, but I understand that they're under an awful lot of pressure because they to get out on hundreds and hundreds of radio stations and get published in all the newspapers and whatnot. They need the support of the mainstream, and so there are limits.
It seems as though, Amy Goodman is more vulnerable to certain types of pressure than a commercial operation like Alex Jones would be. Alex Jones is actually, I don't know how his distribution compares with Democracy Now, but I do know that he's gotten a lot of radio stations to carry his show. And he does go over the top sometimes, he exaggerates, but on the other hand, he covers, 9/11. And there aren't too many people. There aren't too many people.
Well, he has a different kind of outlet. He is not published in mainstream newspapers, Gannett, and all of those all over the country, like Amy Goodman is.
Yeah.
And the stations which cover him tend to not be those that are part of, the so-called mainstream.
So I've located this audio passage from last Tuesday's Alex Jones show where he interviews Wayne Mattson. Wayne Mattson is a investigative reporter, a former analyst with the Naval Intelligence, and also I believe he worked for the NSA for a time. He apparently has extensive contacts in the intelligence community, and this takes about 10 minutes, but they go over... They just do an excellent job of covering, talking about recent terrorist attacks, and it really, to the uninitiated, is going to sound totally off the wall. But you just need to go out and research these things yourself. That's all I can say.
Yeah, my introduction to something like that would be to tell people to hang in there and keep an open mind, because we have absolute proof that we have been lied to about 9/11, and that those lies were the basis on which we have gone to war against Afghanistan and Iraq. We have lost over 6,000 of our brave soldiers, men and women. We have spent $1 trillion of taxpayer money. We have killed hundreds of thousands, perhaps a million, innocent civilians in Iraq and Afghanistan. We have destroyed the image of the United States around the world, lost friends and made new enemies. And we have taken away the constitutional rights of individual Americans in order to clamp down on dissent in these areas with things like the Patriot Act. And so 9/11 is the root cause of all of this. And please, everybody, keep an open mind to this. Don't automatically say, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. The conspiracy theory is the official story told by the Bush administration. That's the most wild, outrageous conspiracy theory of all.
Thank you. You said that very well. I'm going to play this segment now. It takes about 10 minutes. We'll be back soon.
Well, Gladio was a CIA operation which actually used a lot of the assets of the Galen organization. Now, Reinhard Galen was a Gestapo officer in Hitler's secret police. He was used by the CIA after World War II to help set up what were known as stay-behind networks. In the event of a Soviet invasion of Europe, there would be these units, these cells that would have access to buried or hidden away caches of weapons and ammunition to do guerrilla attacks on Soviet occupying forces. These not only existed in NATO countries, but also, more interestingly, in neutral countries like Switzerland, Austria, Finland, and a few others, Spain, before it joined NATO, and a few others. So what happened in the 70s and 80s was we saw with the rise of leftist activists in Europe, there were false flag attacks done by Gladio units that had access to these weapons that were then blamed on the Red Brigades of Italy, the Red Army faction in Germany. They kidnapped and assassinated former Italian Prime Minister Aldo Moro. That was blamed on the left, when in fact it looks like that was carried out by these Gladio units. Also, there was a bombing of a train station in Bologna, Italy, that was later found to be carried out by the Gladio unit. So these, of course, were all blamed on the leftists. Now what we're seeing is in Europe, where we see that the boogeyman of the Islamist jihadis is kind of fading, although we see roundups, but we've heard the Italian police commanders say these recent bombings at embassies or attempted bombings at embassies in Rome and similar bombings in Athens of embassies are being carried out by a network of anarchists throughout Europe. Well, that sounds amazingly like the charges we heard from Denmark when they rounded up five people they claim were trying to blow up a newspaper office in Copenhagen, this was a pan-European network. I think with the impending general strikes and street demonstrations in Europe coming up this year on the austerity programs, the budget cuts, the pension cuts, we're seeing the bankers and the oligarchs in Europe trying to now link the left movement, the workers and students movement, to the jihadists, and we're going to see a full-court press to try to link those two organizations and go after people who are out in the streets rightfully and justifiably protesting what the bankers have done to these various economies. There's really not a whole lot of ways to avoid the 24/7 news channels, but when they report something like this incident in Denmark where rounding up these guys, one guy was actually innocent, he was released because all he did was rent an apartment of some of these other guys. But when you see a guy like the Danish head of police intelligence getting on there, and he turns out he's nothing more, Jakob Scharf is nothing more than a shill for the Israelis, it takes critical thinking. And you know, I think that's people just have to stop believing what they hear on CNN and Fox News and MSNBC, and unfortunately the BBC and others are falling into this as well. Just say it's baloney, but then try to find out why we're putting out this false information.
Well, that's the other issue. I mean, we learned in the Madrid bombings 6-7 years ago, it came out in their news that intelligence agencies were involved. It came out in the 7-7 event.
I just wanted to interject about the 7-7 event. They're talking about Britain's 9/11 on 7-7 2005, where the buses were bombed, which turned out to have a lot of intelligence goings on here. Now to get back to this.
Can I ask?
I mean, it just always comes out, but that's after the news cycle is over. It's a footnote that it's the intelligence agencies running it, and they may burn some drug addict, patsy occasionally, but that's it.
And when people start hearing about anarchists being responsible for terrorist attacks in Europe and maybe here, remember, there were police caught changing in and out of the black guard that anarchists wear at the B-20 and G8 conferences. They were the ones who were throwing the bricks through the Starbucks.
They've been caught in Denver, Canada. They've been caught in Toronto. They've been caught in Greece. I mean, they get caught everywhere.
This is their M.O. And also, when you hear of a new group claiming responsibility, as we heard in Italy, that no one's ever heard of before, just think it's another fakery organization, just like this quote-unquote Al-Qaeda and all of its McDonald's-like franchises that have now opened up around the world, North Africa, Arabian Peninsula.
You've got Anwar al-Awlaki, you've got Gadon. All of these guys are admitted government spooks.
Absolutely. And we heard that this Danish police intelligence guy, Scharf, basically trying to link what happened in Denmark to David Headley, who was accused of being behind the Mumbai attacks. And now it turns out Headley was working for the Drug Enforcement Administration and the CIA.
And by the way, the BBC is reporting that the police told everybody to evacuate and get away from the church that got bombed in Egypt. We're not saying there aren't real Muslim terrorists, but they're very rare. It's like finding a leprechaun, you know, in your backyard. I mean,
absolutely,
some of these people do exist, but in every case we see, it's always intelligence with its hands all over it. Wayne Madsen of the Wayne Madsen Report. I want you to continue here. We've got your detailed report up at prisonplanet.com, linking over to WayneMadsenReport.com. Gladio Reprise, more false flag operations. I know that, again, it's out in the open. In fact, I need to pull the mainstream news article up. I'll do a search while you're talking. That the police in Egypt got everybody back, said, get away from this Christian church before it got bombed. And it's just always the same. They always know. They always give warnings to insiders. Oklahoma City, first World Trade Center attack, second World Trade Center attack on 9/11. And we see as the whole world politically gets angry, the state's fingerprints all over these events. And now these internal warnings getting leaked. And even USA Today's hyping it that this year we're going to see massive truck bombs and terrorists. And the head of the Justice Department says he loses sleep at night with domestic groups. Why the militias are going to link up with Adam Gadon and Alaki. And we've just got to go after the American people because they're now with the Muslim extremist.
Well, one important thing is one measuring stick I use. Anytime you see a Wolf Blitzer hyping a story like he did on the bombing in the church in Alexandria, Egypt, that usually tells me, because I know who he really works for, that tells me what's behind a lot of this. That was a remotely controlled car bomb that went off in Alexandria, and on Al Jazeera they had a Middle Eastern journalist saying, this is new for Egypt, they haven't had a history of this, not like they have in Lebanon. But remotely controlled car bombs are a telltale sign of particular intelligence agencies. And I would point out that what we saw in Egypt has now exacerbated tensions between the 10% Coptic Christian community and the 90% Muslim community in a country. They've had problems in the past, but now it's really reached the crescendo. So who benefits by this strife in Egypt? The Egyptians are saying that it is foreigners responsible, but they have not said Al-Qaeda. They haven't really pinpointed it, but they've said foreigners. That doesn't say it was necessarily jihadists who
and were notice, responsible. Exactly, and notice, just like with 9/11, we were shown old videos of Palestinians celebrating something that was later confirmed to have been staged. Magically, there's video of a rent-a-mob, celebrating the attack on the church right on time. This has all the makings of some type of Hollywood scripted situation.
Absolutely. So I think we're going to see. We've also had the bombings of churches in Baghdad as well. I think it's the same type of scenario being played out there to exacerbate tensions. We already had between the Shias and Sunnis in Iraq, and now we have them with the Iraqis.
Well, I've had Ray McGovern, the former top briefer to Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr., talk about how our government blew up the Golden Mosque in Iraq to get the Shiites and Sunnis killing each other. I mean, they've been caught. British MI6, as you know, Special Air Services arm, got caught dressed up like Sunnis running around shooting and killing Shiites.
Same thing in Pakistan. We've seen the same thing play out there, where U.S. intelligence has been behind some of the attacks in that country as well. So this is pretty standard operating procedure these days.
So it signifies things are really heating up, that suddenly this stuff's popping up everywhere?
Absolutely.
All right, Wayne Madsen. I guess it's pointing towards Iran, possibly, an attack there?
Could be. We never know when that's going to come.
I hear you. Wayne, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for joining us.
So, if Amy Goodman was covering this stuff, we would, I would welcome it. But for people who don't know anything about Wayne Madsen, just to establish some kind of legitimacy on his part or credibility, he has been on Democracy Now! Several times talking about things. So it's not like, he's come out of thin air and made all these claims. He is a very well-connected investigative journalist. He has a website, WayneMadsen.com, or I'm sorry, WayneMadsenReport.com. But, so Bob, getting back to you, can we just go over some of the technical aspects of the implausibility of the total collapse of this $1 trillion North American defense aeronautics network that that was in place on 9/11?
Well, we have, again, absolute proof that the government's official conspiracy theory about 19 Arabs with box cutters and an old man on a in a cave on a dialysis machine, that tale is completely impossible. For one thing, I'm an old interceptor pilot. I've done the drill, know how long it takes and all that. And hijacked airliners do not fly around for an hour and 40 minutes without being intercepted, unless our air defense system was deliberately sabotaged. And 19 Arabs with box cutters couldn't have done that. You know, somebody had to have pretty good access in order to pull that off.
What type of redundancy is built into this system? I mean, how many simultaneous failures would it take for this to happen by accident?
Too many to count. There's no way it could happen by accident. There had to be a deliberate sending away of interceptors. There had to be a deliberate screening of what was really going on. There had to be some kind of stand-down order to keep our defenses from protecting even the headquarters of our multi-trillion dollar defense establishment from being attacked by a so-called unarmed airliner. This totally inconceivable. The fact is that there were numerous exercises going on that morning, controlled by Dick Cheney in the bunker under the White House.
Yeah, we have
exercises simulating all sorts of stuff, including simulating exactly what was going on in real life.
Right.
And it was so confusing that FAA controllers kept saying, is this real life or part of the exercise?
Yeah, and we have the testimony of the Transportation Secretary.
Norm Mineta.
Yeah, before the 9/11 Commission, which was suppressed from subsequent things you find on the net, except it was salvaged by truthers, I guess you call them. Where he testified that he was in the White House bunker when a young military officer kept coming in and saying, you know, that the missile is 50 miles away from the Pentagon, 40 miles away from the Pentagon, 30 miles away from the Pentagon, and so on, and eventually said, do the orders still stand? And that apparently irritated Cheney, and he whipped his head around and said, yes, have you heard any different? So the question that needs to be asked, of course, is what were these orders? Because there was no attack whatsoever, no counterattack, rather, or defensive measures that were taken.
And, of course, the 9/11 Commission never asked Dick Cheney. They never talked to the lieutenant and asked him what were the orders that you were asking, did they still stand?
Right.
Nobody asked anybody. And I've spent quite a bit of time in the Pentagon, and the idea of an airliner coming in and striking that building to me is totally unbelievable. What I consider to be probably, the best defended building in the world.
Yeah, and then of course, then we have the physics of the collapse of the three buildings in New York, especially World Trade Center 7, where it is absolutely conclusively proven by the most elementary physical analysis that World Trade Center 7 was brought down by controlled demolition. We can tell that by the video feeds, how fast it fell at free fall speed. We also have the leaseholder of the World Trade Center. I can't remember his name, but he was interviewed.
Larry Silverstein.
That's it, Larry Silverstein, talking on PBS about how he gave the order to pull it.
Pull it, yeah.
And apparently that is a slang term used in the demolitions industry to mean to demolish a building.
And we have tape of the BBC announcing the collapse of the World Trade Center 7 before it happened.
Yes. Yes, this
and
is... It was all scripted.
All three of those things, the collapse of the building, which is obviously controlled demolition, Larry Silverstein talking about pulling it, and the BBC announcing the collapse before it happened with the building still visible, still standing over the announcer's left shoulder. All of this is on my 3-minute smoking gun video, which I use when I go to Congress. You know, you can't get somebody to sit down and watch 2 hours of Loose Change or something, but you can certainly get them to sit down with you and watch 3 minutes of a DVD that you happen to have with you. And this 3D smoking gun video should convince everybody that the government's official conspiracy theory is a lie. And this is on the homepage on our website, thepatriots.us. Anybody who wants this 3-minute smoking gun video of World Trade Center 7 can go to thepatriots.us, and it's there on the homepage on the left-hand side, and they can download it, make a DVD, copy it. You know, this is for people to use.
Yeah, and I think it needs to be pointed out that this deluge of truth that the Internet is making possible has also brought us to the point of a crisis, because the people behind the throne who run this world from the shadows, which I think pretty much can be narrowed down to transnational capitalists, transnational finance capitalists, you know, people who own the Federal Reserve and the other central banks of the world.
Right.
Their reign of terror from the shadows is being exposed, and the only thing that supports them, the only defense they have, is deception and concealment, and it's falling down around their ears, and they can see that they're in grave danger. I've heard people suggest that we need a Truth and Reconciliation Commission, so that we can offer these people, you know, some alternative to just being strung up from the nearest telephone pole. And I think that's a good idea, because they still wield a great deal of power. They can still cause a lot of damage.
What we have to do is take their power away. And if in order to take their power away, we have to let them, you know, go retire to Paraguay or something, instead of being incarcerated for the rest of their life, so be it. But we need to sever the ties between big money and political power. We need to once again have a government which follows the Constitution, honors the truth, and serves the people. And that can't happen as long as the government is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the big money interests.
Yes, we're back to the days of the robber barons.
Yep, absolutely.
I need to play a PSA. It'll take about a minute and a half. I'll be right back.
Program provided by listener support and by a donation from the Housing Authority of the City of Columbia. The Housing Authority provides housing for families who qualify. Located at 201 Switzer Street, the Housing Authority of the City of Columbia can be contacted at 573-443-2556.
I know what you're going through.
I've been there.
Nobody else I know has been there.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Things at home may be as you left them.
But you don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
And connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Monsieur has unlocked!
On KOPN, Columbia.
So, Dr. Bowman, it must be fairly disheartening to see some of the same deception going on in the Bonner Day as what you were subjected to in the Vietnam era.
Yeah, with Gulf of Tonkin and all the rest of that.
Yeah.
It, I think it has gotten worse, and the deceptions have gotten bigger and more blatant, and because the monopoly corporate media have almost total control of the mainstream media, which they didn't have back in the days of Vietnam. And so, whereas in the Vietnam days, there was wide spread knowledge of what was going on at Kent State, and the people got to see the body bags coming back, and there just wasn't the censorship that we have now. The Bush administration, which inaugurated these wars, implemented a total ban on the public seeing anything like body bags or coffins coming home or any form of dissent. It was just totally censored out. And so, it's about time that the American people woke up and said, we refuse to spend $1 trillion now and $3 to $5 trillion later taking home care of disabled veterans and all of that, and use our sons and daughters as cannon fodder for these corporate wars of aggression. If the multinational corporations, the oil companies and the international bankers, if they want to exploit third world countries for their financial profit, at least make them hire their own mercenaries with their own ill-gotten money, and not force us taxpayers to provide our sons and daughters and our hard-earned money. Let the corporations do it themselves if they must, and I wish they wouldn't. But, it is totally unconstitutional and totally against our national interest and totally against the interest of all the working people in this country for the United States to be prosecuting these wars of aggression on behalf of the financial interests of multinational corporations, wars that have absolutely nothing to do with our national security except to jeopardize and destroy it. For our government to be using us, using our kids, using our money for these corporate wars, I don't understand why the American people don't just rise up and say no.
I think it is
unbelievable to me.
I think the American people are afraid. I think that we have, beneath the veneer of democracy and freedom that the mainstream media likes to put up, you really do have a pervasive sense of unease and fear. I'm sorry, what did you
say? Well, I think the American people have been brainwashed by this corporate media, and too often have been sold so much falsehood, the big lie, that they have believed it. I mean, why on earth do a majority of the poor people, the working people of this country, vote for Republicans who have who continually do things that are totally against the personal interests of the people who vote for them? They collar them in by spouting right-wing Christianity, which is totally false, and spouting their conservatism, and the Bush administration, the Cheney-Bush administration, was the least conservative administration in our country's history. They did more to destroy the pillars of conservatism than any administration before them, or all of them put together. I mean, the pillars of conservatism are financial responsibility, avoidance of foreign military entanglements, and the protection of the individual rights of American citizens. That's what it means to be a conservative. And the Bush administration did more to destroy all three of those than all administrations before and all our enemies combined. And yet, the people vote for them. And, of course, the Democrats anymore are not much better. They're, you know, we voted for Barack Obama for change, change we could believe in, real change. And what we've gotten is chump change. And most of the most oppressive policies, the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, which has not only been continued but expanded and extended into Pakistan, the Patriot Act, which has been extended and expanded, the Military Commissions Act, the threat of martial law, the camps built by Halliburton to round up our dissenters and incarcerate us. All these things continue under Obama. And so it's not a matter of one party against the other, except that the Republicans are more blatant about it, and it's hard for me to understand why any working American could possibly vote for any Republican except for someone like Ron Paul. And I do not include in that exception his son Rand, because Rand is a run-of-the-mill imperialist pro-war Republican. He is not his father's son. And so, you know, we have a situation where we have to change things. And what we need to change, first and foremost, is big money corporate control of the government. And they do that through financing elections, through this latest absolutely stupid Supreme Court decision that corporations can spend as much money as they want buying up voters, buying up politicians, buying up elections, and they don't have to even say where the money came from. We've got to change all this. We've got to pass a constitutional amendment saying that corporations and other fictitious entities are not persons under this Constitution and shall have none of the rights and privileges thereof. We have to completely ban private money from elections. There's so much we need to do, but once we get big money out of politics, then we can once again have a government which serves the people. And such a government will not get us into wars like Iraq and Afghanistan based on lies and deception and false flag attacks.
But this is why 9/11 is so key to this whole issue. I mean, whether you are concerned with peace or social welfare or you know, democracy at home and civil rights, all of these issues fall under this umbrella of 9/11 truth. If you cannot figure out how the depth of depravity and deception and treason and mass murder that has gone on in your name. Under this completely transparently, provably false fiction that has been pushed, then you're totally irrelevant. You can't call yourself a political activist if you don't address this issue, research it, find out for yourself. No one is asking you to take our word for it. It's just turn on your brain and use it and stop being so gullible.
And, people sometimes say, I just can't believe that our government would murder 3,000 of its own citizens. I mean, that's totally unbelievable. Well, my response to that is, since 9/11, our government has murdered more than twice that many of its own soldiers, never mind the hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians in other countries, in the wars based on the 9/11 lie.
Patricia, I keep interrupting you, and I'm sorry, and please say what you want to say here.
It's okay. I'm really, really enjoying having Bob on the show. He's just saying everything that I want to say, except I just wanted to say that when people tell me or say something like, well, our government wouldn't do that, I say, well, it's not our government. It is a rogue element within the government that is using the government for its own purposes. You know, so that's how I respond to that kind of statement from people. And I think that helps relax people's minds that, no, it's not the United States of America. It is some criminal element.
It is, but unfortunately that criminal element is so powerful now that it controls the Congress, the White House, the Supreme Court, and we have to remember that and change that. That's what we have to change.
Right.
And we have to expose that criminal element and either incarcerate them or if we have one of these Truth and Reconciliation Commissions, at least remove them totally from power.
Absolutely.
And that includes the banks. What I would do, of course, as president, and I say this in all my inaugural addresses that I give as president all around the country, some of the things that I would do, in addition to a new investigation of 9/11 and ending the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, bringing all our troops home from all over the world, giving away all our foreign military bases back to the host countries, I would abolish the CIA, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Federal Reserve.
Yep.
Nationalize the Fed. Yeah. I guess. Yeah, that really is the key. The debt-based monetary system is what is the hidden actor. You know, everything else is a shadow play.
It is the ultimate objective, and maintaining that is the purpose of all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And they use that debt-based monetary system to siphon all the money to the top, where it, of course, never trickles down. And we have to make people understand that a healthy economy is not a trickle-down economy. It's a bubble-up economy. We need to have a debt-free economy, which gives money to people so that they can spend, and then businesses will thrive, the economy will flourish, but it has to start with the ordinary American people, the workers, the unemployed, everybody, the disabled, everybody, having sufficient money for their needs and money to go out and spend for their families.
Right.
Well, if all the resources in the world were shared by the people who live in those areas rather than being privatized, then it would be a very different world. Everyone would be wealthy, you know?
It seems to me
that certainly could be. Money is only supposed to be a medium to allow people to exchange goods and services freely. And if there isn't enough money to go around among the people, everything grinds to a halt. And right now, all the money is at the top. And, you know, people say, oh, you know, you can take away money from the rich, but it isn't going to make any difference. There aren't enough rich people to go around. Well, that's not true. If you took the 200 wealthiest people in the world and you took just half their wealth and redistributed it, you could double the income of 50% of the people in the world. There is a lot of money at the top, and it needs to be spread around. And boy, did Obama get in trouble when he said that in the campaign, but he was absolutely right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he hasn't followed through on that.
Right. I think key to this whole project is getting a grip on the media's role in perpetuating the current political system. It costs a lot of money to have advertising campaigns, you know, in the major media to attain political office. And
And we need to totally eliminate that. Should campaigns should be financed by public money, and qualified candidates should get equal free airtime, radio and television, and we should take private money out of the electoral process totally.
I understand back in the 20s, J.P. Morgan was accused of buying all the major media in the country, you know, behind the scenes, or buying off the editors and the the people who control the content. So, you know, these bankers have known how power works for a very long time. And
Well, again, you know, if people want to go into some of this history and some of this artificial divide between right and left in the country and all of that, again, go to our website, thepatriots.us.
Okay. So, have you seen, for instance, were you working at the Pentagon under the Reagan administration, or
Fortunately, I had retired in time. I directed all the Star Wars programs under Presidents Ford and Carter. And when Reagan was elected, the crazies came into power with him. You probably recognize some of the names: Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, Donald Rumsfeld, Richard Pearl. And they sold the old man a bill of goods, or I should say a trill of goods. And Reagan's own Joint Chiefs of Staff called me into the Pentagon and said, "Bob, you've got to help us. There's a gag order. We can't say anything publicly. We can't write anything without it being censored by the White House. We're totally strapped. And even if we retire, that continues. But you retired in time before Reagan took office. They have no hold on you. You've got to warn Congress and the American people about this military lunacy," which was, they were talking about Reagan's Star Wars scheme. And so I did. I mean, that's when I had to give up my job in industry and start speaking out. I gave over 5,000 speeches against Reagan's Star Wars scheme during his administration.
Can you talk about...
You are really a hero, Bob.
Yeah, you are. I mean, you absolutely are.
I haven't worked since, you know. I haven't had a paycheck in a quarter of a century. But I wouldn't change it for anything.
Can you go a little bit into the history of Team B, this alternate intelligence conduit that the crazies set up during the Reagan administration?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, Team B was the alternate intelligence interpretation team, which took the results which the analysts at the CIA came up with and turned them totally upside down. And this team, involving people like Wolfowitz and Richard Pearl and so forth, then gave this information to people in the Reagan administration as a source of policy. And that's what the Reagan administration used to proceed toward a nuclear war, a war of aggression, first strike against the Soviet Union. And we fought that every step of the way, and we were able to succeed in preventing the Reagan administration from putting weapons in space and from initiating their war of aggression. And in the second term, Reagan's second term, we got some new people in the administration which weren't as crazy, and got some of the real nutcases out of there, and were able to survive. But unfortunately, all those crazies came right back into power under George W. Bush. And they started once again. The Soviet Union wasn't around again, but they needed a new boogeyman. They created one in Saddam Hussein, and they perpetrated their wars of aggression against Afghanistan and Iraq. And this time, we weren't able to stop them. And why? 9/11. And their total control of the media and their exploitation of the tragedy of 9/11 meant that the majority of American people supported the attack on Afghanistan, and a huge percentage even supported the attack on Iraq. And I mean, fortunately, the consequences of this, as horrific as they are, are not as bad as it would have been had we taken on the Soviet Union in the early 1980s, because it would have meant the loss not of a million people, but of hundreds of millions of people and perhaps of the entire planet.
Although it seems as though they have their sights on China now. They certainly
are. And, of course, Iran.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's like they are a self-effulgent war machine in and of themselves, you know. Like, they just want to destroy. And that goes for you and me and everybody and everything. It's just really
And they're being used. The military-industrial complex is just a tool these international bankers and folks that rule everything from the top.
Yeah.
And they're well paid for their efforts. They make lots of money building the weapons of war.
Yeah.
But, the Constitution doesn't have anything in there about the United States of America using its armed forces to protect the financial interests of multinational corporations. It's crazy.
Bob, one last question. We're getting close to the top of the hour. I do want to ask, what is your sense of the sentiments of the people at the Pentagon, the people who would actually be called on to enforce martial law in this country? What is your sense of their level of knowledge and patriotism about these issues?
Well, there's a real battle going on within the Pentagon for the heart and soul of this country, and it's been going on for several years. There's been a faction who wanted to follow Cheney's orders to attack Iran. There was another faction that said, hell no, not on my watch. And fortunately, that faction prevailed. The same thing is going on now. It is my firm belief that if some president ever did try to declare martial law and round up us dissenters, that the people in the military would surround us and aim their guns outward to protect us from Blackwater.
Yay.
That is my fondest
wish. As they call themselves now.
That is my fondest wish.
I think the majority of the people in the Pentagon are with us and understand their responsibility is to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, not follow the orders of some deranged president.
Yeah.
I pray you're correct. This is the most hopeful
thing.
But you know, these people are masters of deception, so you can't you can't take anything for granted. But
if the
American people continue to refuse to research and come to their own conclusions about the realities of the 9/11 attack, then that's one less support. Pillar of support that the military will have to do the right thing when they receive these illegal orders, which are surely coming down the pike.
Yeah, and you know, I have written letters to the Pentagon reminding